chapter 18 of the book of Acts, and Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Corinth was the sin capital of the Roman Empire. I don't think I'm going out on a limb to make that statement. And actually, it's saying an awful lot because there was a lot of sin in the Roman Empire. But in Corinth, it wasn't just part of the lifestyle. It was the lifestyle. And it was also the religion of the people in Corinth. Verse 2. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had demanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came to them. Paul came to Aquila and his wife Priscilla, and we'll find out why in a minute. Anyway, the Jews were stirring up rebellion in the city of Rome, so the emperor kicked them all out. And among those who left was this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. So they were forced out of their town, they were forced out of their home, and I would say from their business, as we will see. But always remember that for Christians, a forced change is not your world falling apart. It is God doing something new with you. Trust him. Verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, Paul had the same occupation, the same skill, he abode with them and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Aquila and his wife had a tent making business. And every Jewish boy, no matter how intelligent they were or how much schooling they had, was taught a trade. And Paul was a tent maker as well. So one day he applied for a job with them and he was hired. And notice how God introduced these Christians to each other through their work. And none of this would have happened if Aquila's family had not been forced from their home. 4. And he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So Paul made tents because he had to earn some money, but his heart was in teaching the Word of God, so he would do both, but only for as long as he really had to. We all have to do things that we don't want to do. And that's just the way it is in this fallen world. 5. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Well, after Silas and Timothy arrived, Paul was free to spend his time teaching, which is what God called him to do. 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From hereafter, I will go to the Gentiles." You know, Paul did his part by giving the Jews the word of God. Consequently, their condemnation would be their own fault, not his. If we don't preach, we preachers, if we don't preach the pure word of God, even though it upsets some people, then they will indeed be judged for their sin and their lack of repentance, but we also will be judged because we didn't warn them You just read Ezekiel chapter 18 sometime. He lays it out very clear. 7. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Titus Justus was the man. It was a Roman name. This man was a Gentile, but it appears as if he was a convert to Judaism, and now he's taken it one step further. He has become a convert to Christ. Titus Justus. This is where Paul was staying. 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. That's a big conversion. Ruler of a synagogue, turning to Jesus. That's great. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. For I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And God graciously appears to Paul and assures him. And I would say that if he didn't need it, God wouldn't have done it. But when you've been stoned, whipped, and beaten for preaching the Word of God, thrown in prison multiple times for preaching the Word of God, as Paul so often was, you might just get a little bit gun-shy about preaching, especially if you are in the sin capital of the Roman Empire. It's a tough audience. So God encourages Paul, and he receives that encouragement. And he also receives the faith to persevere. Verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Well, here we go again, huh? The Jews were trying to stop the spread of Christianity. Once again, Gallio was an important Roman ruler. And so if he rules that Christianity is against the law, that's going to set a precedent for the future. And that's what the Jews want. And that's why they haul Paul before him. Saying, 13, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. This is what the Jews were hoping for. You see, it was against the law for someone to form a new religion in Rome. And the Jews are telling Gallio that Paul is trying to do that. He's trying to start a new religion called Christianity. 14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wickedness or wicked lewdness, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. In other words, just as Paul was about to make his defense, Gallio actually makes it for him. He tells the Jews that he's not interested in their accusations. They are irrelevant to him. 15. He continues, but if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look you to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. In other words, in essence, he rules that Christianity is not a new religion because he talks of it as if it is their law, their religion. So he rules that Christianity is not a religion, not a new one, but rather a part of the Jews' religion. And that was a big break for the early church. At least for a while, it will be legal in the Roman Empire to be a Christian. So God allowed his church to get a foothold. He got it going. And of course, he has kept it going by his sovereign power, just as he said he would. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church, said Jesus. 16. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Sosthenes was sympathetic to the Christians, and the Jews didn't like that, so they vented their frustration on him. Now, if he wasn't a Christian here, then his beating pushed him over the edge, because later on in Scripture, he is a Christian. Verse 18. And Paul, after he tarried there yet a good while, after this, I should say, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed from there into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Paul probably made a vow to God during his hard times, which could have been just about any time. But that was a typical Jewish thing, and this is how that went. A vow was made, and then the person had 30 days to get to Jerusalem, shave their head, and offer whatever sacrifice they promised. 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So they all arrived at the city of Ephesus. Paul's companions stayed on the ship while he went to the synagogue and told the Jews about Christ. And he's just redeeming the time, making the most of every moment and every opportunity that he has. 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. He couldn't stay because God had answered some prayer that was connected to his vow, and he had to get to Jerusalem to offer the proper sacrifice before the 30 days was up. 21. But bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now you can tell that Paul was in a hurry, or he never would have left these people who were interested in hearing the word of God. He would never walk away from somebody like that. So he only had a short time to spend with these people, and he used it. Spending a little time with someone is better than nothing, and it can make a big difference, especially if that time involves Jesus or teaching the word of God. 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, he saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. So after arriving in Israel, Paul made his way to Jerusalem. And no doubt he tells the church all about his second missionary journey. And after that, he heads back up to his home church in the city of Antioch. And we'll pick it up in verse 23.